Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and we're beginning Perek Chavish and Ishpa. And the Mishnah is going to deal with a barrel of Chavish that had food in it, and it broke on Shabbos, and how do you save the food that was inside the barrel? Chavish and Ishpa, Matzilin Heimena Mazon Shalosh Su'udos. So we're going to allow him to save from this barrel up to, but not beyond, Mazon Shalosh Su'udos. And we're talking about one kli, and we saw this back on Daf Kuf Ches, that you're allowed to save as much as you can in one kli. And the reason why the Chachomim prohibited you from saving in many different kelim more than three su'udos is because of the fear that if we matted this, he might bring kelim through Rishus HaRabim, and that's the sugya on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Ramos says that since we're choshesh that if we'll allow him to save more than three su'udos, he might come and be misakin the chavis on Shabbos. In any event, the Sfasemis writes that what the Ramah has in mind is like just the case of Dleika, when there's a fire that broke out. They were only matir mazon lahatzel mazon shal sudos because he's bol al mamoni, he might come to extinguish the fire. Here too, we have a chashash that if he's so busy bol al mamona to save lots of food, then he might be misaking the chavis. Now, as far as Shalosh Sudos are concerned, it says in the Mishnah V'chein, V'omer l'achirim bo v'atzil lachem, each person is allowed to save up to Mazon Shalosh Sudos. The Me'iri writes, that's only if he hasn't eaten his suda on Leil Shabbos. Then, of course, he's allowed to save Mazon for Shalosh Sudos. If he already ate his suda on Leil Shabbos, he can only save Mazon Shalosh Sudos. If it's after the suda Shachris, and he has only one suda remaining, then he's only allowed to save maximum for one suda. The Mishnah continues, Bilvad Shalo Yispog. In other words, if the Chavis that broke had liquids inside of it, that's a different story. To absorb the liquids with a sponge in order to later on squeeze out the sponge, that we cannot allow because we're always afraid that he might come to schita to squeeze out the liquids from the sponge. And we already had in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph that if you have a handle that's attached to the sponge, then we're not afraid of schita. Here the Mishnah seems to formulate a blanket statement that in all circumstances you're not now to absorb the liquids that are falling with a sponge. And the reason is that this is considered uvdan dechol. And we had a brice, if you recall, yol yisvog v'yayin lo yitapeach b'shemen kiderech shu osa b'chol. The Mishnah continues with regard to drinking liquids. And we're talking specifically about liquids that oozed out of fruits on Shabbos. This is called Mashkin Shezovu. Ain't Sochanis a Paris Lahotzimen Mashkin Vim Yotsu Me Atzmon Asuri. So obviously you're not allowed to squeeze juice out of the fruits. That would be Melechas Dash, Schita Mishum Dash. But what happens if some of the juices came out on their own? And the Mishnah now formulates a new Iser of Shtia. We're afraid that if he's going to drink the juices that came out of the fruits, then he may come to squeeze the fruits with his hands. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Imli Ochlin, if you're talking about fruits that are designated for Achila, then Mashke Hayotze Mehen Mutter. he's not happy about the fact that he got the juices out. Therefore, he's not going to come to squeeze more juice out. He really wants to eat this fruit as is. But in Lamashkin, if the fruits are designated for juice, for schita, then ayotzimena osu. Then he agrees with the Chachamim in the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, that since he's happy about the fact that the fruits, the juices are out of the fruits, he may come to deliberately and actively squeeze the fruits in order to get the juices out of the fruits. And now the last part of the Mishnah is going to deal with taking honey out of honeycombs on Shabbos. Chalos dvash sheriskam me'erev Shabbos v'yotzu me'atzman. If he started chopping up these honeycombs on Friday before Shabbos in order that the dvash should just completely ooze out, should come out, and they did so on Shabbos, they started the dvash started coming out me'atzman from this chalos dvash merusekes that was crushed on Erev Shabbos, asurim, he's not allowed to eat that dvash on that Shabbos, because we're afraid that if we allow him to eat the dvash, he may come to take the chalos that are not merusakim, and he would be merasik them. He would crush these thing, and then he's going to violate the isur dash. Rabbi Elezer Matir, Rabbi Elezer says we're not afraid of this. Everybody agrees that they didn't prohibit dvash because of the chashash schita. But the machlokas here is whether or not we have to be afraid of, as far as the chalos merusakos, that which he did the risuk on Erev Shabbos, he chopped it up on Erev Shabbos, that we're not choshish that he'll go back to those chalos, those honeycombs that were chopped and start squeezing them. We're worried about he might take chalos she'enam merusakos, that honeycombs that were not chopped up, and Rabbi Elezer says that we're not afraid of such a thing, that he would come to by allowing him to benefit from the honey that he's going to come to use to take the honeycombs that are not chopped up and start chopping them up. That's not a chashash. And the Chachom say, no, we're choshish that he might take from the chal she'enam merusakos that weren't chopped up, and he might chop them up in order to get more dvash. But again, as far as those chalos that are riskam erev Shabbos, then we're not afraid that he will take those chalos and and sort of do another extra pu'ula of risuk or crushing them in some way in order to take out more dvash. So the whole section here of this mishnah is about the iser of mefarik and the gzera in terms of dvash yotzu me'atzma. And this leads us to the Gemara. Now, in the Mishnah, we said that if you have a broken barrel, you're not allowed to collect the liquids that fall from the barrel with a sponge. Tonal yisvog b'yayin, v'lo yitapach b'shemen, shlo yase kiderech shu ose b'chol. So he's not allowed to absorb the wine in a sponge as the wine drips down. He's not allowed to moisten his hand by dipping it into the oil that's spilling down, because he's thinking it would be great if I can dip my hand, so to speak, in the oil and then, you know, just simply, you know, scrape my hands on the side of the barrel, or in the case of wine, to squeeze the wine from the sponge. And we're not going to allow him to do this because of the principle shel yaseh kiderech shu osu b'chol. So he shouldn't do it the way he does on a weekday. And the Ritva writes that Osur less office on Mashkin Bemtzos Fog Shemi Yischot to absorb the liquids with a sponge, we're afraid he might come to Schita, squeeze it out. And when the Brisa says Lo Yasa Kider Shosu V'chol, it's referring to the Shemen case, the Tipuach Yodayim B'Shemen. Not the case of Isuf Mashkin B'Sfog. There, in that case of Isuf Mashkin B'Sfog, we're talking about a Chashash of an Isuf Torah. But in the case of Tipuach B'Yodayim, that's already Shalo Yase Kiderchu Ose Bechol. That's already an issue of Uvden Dechol. Tana Rabbanon Nispazu Lo Peros Bechotzer. His fruits are scattered in his courtyard. Melaket Al Yad Vi Ochel. What we're going to allow him to do is to take one at a time and eat them as he gathers them, but not to gather them all together. Avolo yiklot osam v'tocha sal. He should not gather them together in a basket. Avolo v'tocha kupa or in a box. Shelo yase kiderech shu osa b'chol. The language of the Brisa in the case of Nispazu lo peres b'chotzer is Malaket al yad vi ochel, and it seems like he should take each fruit separately and eat it. He should not gather the peros in his hand. Tosus, if you take a look, Dibra Masa Malaket has a different girsa. He's not happy with the girsa of vi ochel because it says afterwards Avalola tocha sal, avalola tocha kupa, which implies that you're not allowed to put these pears into a sal or a kupa, but because that's nirakiv to the chol, but letocha yad, toch kapo, that would be mutter. Now the Mishnah says, ain't sochtinus haperos, lahotzi men el mashkin. But in Yotzu Miatzman, Asurim of Yudomir and Paris Omdim Lachila, Liochlon, Hayotzman Mutter, Omdim Lamashkin, Hayotzman Osir. So the machlokis here is about peros. And certain peros where you're not allowed to eat the mashkim Hayotzman. Omrav Yudom Shmuel Moda, Yerav Yehuda, Lechachamim, Bezesim, Vanovim, which means that if he gathered together the Zesim and the Anovim in order to eat them, then Mashkin Ayotzimahen B'Shabbos Osur B'Shtir. And it means that the principle of Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's Lachila, then Hayotzimahen is Mutter, that would not apply in the case of Zeisiv Anovim, and Rav Yehuda would concede to the Chacham. My timer. Why is it that Rav Yehuda would concede in the cases of Zeisiv and Anovim? Kevan del Schita Ninu Yoiv Daite. In other words, usually Zeisiv Anovim are Omdim L'Schita, right? We want to get the oil and the wine. And we're afraid that if he sees that liquids are coming out, then he'll change his mind, and he'll decide, you know what? He'll take the mashke. And therefore he's going to come to Schita. Because as we said before, usually in most cases, Zesim Anovim are Omdim L'Schita. And even though he gathered them together for Achila, it's very easy for him to come to Schita in these cases. And he might change his mind when he sees the mashkin coming out, and say, you know what? I'm going to, instead of eating them, I'm going to get the juices out. Ula Amar Rav, Cholikar Rabbi Yehuda Af B'Zeisim V'Anovim. Since he gathered them together and designated from the Achila, we're not afraid that he's going to change his mind and come to Schita. which would mean that Rabbi Yehuda's statement in a post of the Chachamim of Omdim L'Achila, that's a universal statement that all encompass, even Zeisiv Anov. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, he agrees on the one hand to Rav that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees even in the case of Zeisiv Anovim, and since they're Omdim L'Achila, therefore we're not afraid that he's going to come to Schita. However, Halachik Rabbi Yehuda B'shar Peiros Vein Halach Rabbi Yehuda B'Zeisim V'Anom. So in the next level of Halach L'Maisa, we're going to accept this distinction between Zeisim V'Anovim, that you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of the juices that came out, even if they were Omdim L'Achila, and we're going to reject Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Zeisim V'Anovim. And that's because that, generally speaking, Omdim L'Schita. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Moda Hoy Rabbi Yehuda L'Chachamim B'Zeisim V'Anovim. So we now have a Shita here that we saw before in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, and now we have Rabba, who's quoting Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. And even though the Zeisim V'Anovim were designated for Achila, nevertheless, he's not allowed to eat, drink, I should say, the liquids that come out of them on Shabbos, because most Zeisim HaNovim are designated for Schita, and we're afraid he'll come to Schita. Modim Chachom Rabbi Yehuda, oh, here's something we didn't see before, B'Shar Peiros. In the case of Shar Peiros, where if he designates them for Achila, then we're allowed to drink the mashke hazav mehem. And the reason for that is because since it's ruba omdim l'achila, is therefore lo gozube, we're not afraid that it'll come to schita. So the Gemara has to find kasha. Omalei Rav Yirmiel Rav Abba el b'may pligi. According to this presentation of Rabba in the name of Rav Yudam Shmuel, you've reduced the Machlokes Shin Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda to a null set. There's no case where there is a Machlokes. Omalei, so Rabbi Abba responds, Lichi Tishkach, meaning when you study it, you'll figure it out. What is the Machlokes? And the Gemara now explains. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mistabra, we think it makes sense, it's logical, that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham will be betusim v'rimonim, in case of omdim achila, pligi. The Chacham are going to say that some have the tendency of being sochet these peros, you know, to get the mashkin, to get yourself a strawberry juice drink, or a pomegranate juice drink. And therefore, we're going to give them the same din, the same status as Zeisim HaNovim, because some people, actually, it's common, will do schit on them. And we have the gzera of Mashkin Shezavu, not only in the case of Zeisim HaNovim, but also in the case of Tusim V'Rimonim. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that since they're Omdim L'Achila, officially, they were designated for Achila, therefore, we're not afraid of schita, and it has the same status as Shar Peiros. Again, in Shar Peiros, other than Zeisim V'Anovim Tusim V'Rimonim, when it's Omi L'Achila, then there's no Iser of Mashke Sheyotzim, and we're not Gozer and Ixera that'll come to schita. And Mashke Ayotzim Hazav Mehem is Mutter according to everyone. In the case of Zeisim V'Anovim, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda, that Mashkim Ayotzim Mehem is us. And the reason for that is because they are Omed L'Schita. And the Machlokes is going to be in that middle case of Tusim V'Rimonim. So the Gemara wants to bring a brisa now to prove that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is in Tusim V'Rimonim. Desanya, we learned in the brisa, Zeisim Shem Moshach Mehem Shemen. It means Zav Mehem Shemen. V'Anovim Shem Moshach Mehem Yayin. v'chnison bein li ochel bein l'mashkin. So when he gathered them together, he had in mind that they might be for ochlin. They had in mind for mashkin. Is there for mashkin ayotzimahen osur? Here, in these cases of Zaysin, Vanovim were afraid that if you allow him to enjoy the benefit of that which came out, the wine and the oil, he might come to actively do the schita. However, Tusim Shenosha Bemayim, if the liquids inside these berries came out, or Rimonim Shemosha Mehen Yayin, it means that some of the juices of the pomegranates was squeezed out. Is Echnison Li Ochlin, if he had initially gathered them together for the purpose of Achila, then Mashkin Yotzim and Mutter. But Lamashkin, the Listam, if either he designated them for liquids or he didn't have any decision in his mind, then Ayotzim and Os. Divrei Rabbi Yehud. So we have the Kula of Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Tusim Rimonim in Echnisam Li Ochlin. The Chacham Omrim Bein Li Ochlin Bein Lamashkin Eotzim En Os, that in Tusim Rimonim, even in the case where he gathered them together for the purpose of Achila, was still Choshesh for Schita. Now the Gemara deals with Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, that in the case where he brought in Tusim Rimonim Stam, he didn't have any definite decision. Mashkin Ayotzim En Osur. So Rabbi Yehuda Stam Osur. Is it really true that according to Rabbi Yehuda Stam, when he didn't have any definite Machshava, it's Osur Vasnan? We have a Mishnah that deals with milk, and when is milk considered a mashke? This is a Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin, because mashke in Machshirin, Cholov, is one of the Zion mashkim. And if any of these mashkim, whether it be Yayin, Dam, Shemen, Cholov, Tal, Dvash, Dvorim, or Mayim, fall on some sort of foodstuff, that makes it mukhshar lekabel tuma. And on the list, we have chalav. Fine. Now, chalava isha is considered a mashke umetame, and therefore it's machshir ochlun kabos tuma. It matters not whether lerotzon bein shelo lerotzon, whether the milk came out of the mother deliberately, she took the milk out and she was nursing, or it didn't. It happened inadvertently. The milk just came out. It's always considered a mashke by definition. That's in the case of chalav isha. Chalav behema, that's not considered a mashke. It's ena mitami. It's not machshir lekabolas tuma, unless ella lerotzon. Unless the bailim milked the cow. So if chalav would drip out of the udders of a cow, shelo l'ratzon bailim, he had no interest in it, that chalav is not considered a mashke, even though it itself would be mekabel tuma, but af hu atzmein mekabel tuma im noga bo sheretz. So we're excluding it as a mashke, and it's not mekabel tuma if it had an agi with sheretz. This is the view of the Tanakhama as far as chalav behema. Now we get to Rabbi Akiva. Om Rabbi Akiva Kavachomer. Certainly, chalav behema should be metame even if it came out shelo l'ratzon habayla. Ma chalev ha'isha she'eno miyuchad el k'tanim. Who drinks the milk of a mother? It's the child. And nevertheless, metame l'ratzon v'shalol l'ratzon, and we said that it has the status of a machshir, whether or not she deliberately took out the milk or it flows on its own, is chalav habehema shemiyuchad bein l'ktanim bein l'gdolim, by who's drinking cow's milk you and I, adults, not just children. And therefore it's closer to being a mashke than chalav eisha. I mean, the cow's milk is more of a mashke because it's suitable for mature people as well. Is there fein udin sheyitami bein beratzon bein shalom beratzon? Just like in chalav isha, if the milk came out shalom beratzon, it's mitame. So too, with the kal v'chomer beema, chalav beema should be mitame shalom beratzon. Amrulo, the chacham responded, you cannot learn and derive any dinim regarding chalav beema from the din of chalav isha. Why? Im mitame chalev ha'isha shalo l'ratzon, even though in the case of chalev ha'isha, even if it came out without her being aware of it and certainly wanting to take it out, and it, nevertheless he says chalev im is time chalev ha'isha shalo l'ratzon ein ze el mishum. Why is it that chalev ha'isha is mitami shalo b'ratzon? That's only because we find that dam magafasa tame. Now what does migafasa mean? She had a wound, and the dam that comes from a maka is tame. And chalav ha'isha has the same din as dam makasa or dam makavasa, because the source of milk is dama. And just like dam, in the case of dam makah, which is Yotze Shaloberotz, and somebody gave him a smack, and yet it's Machshel Kabel Tumah, so to Chalav Ha'isha is Machshel Kabel Tumah, whether or not it was Yotze Mirtzono or Eina Yotze Mirtzono. Okay, now, are you able to derive any conclusions here with regard to Chalav Behema? Yitame Chalav HaBehema? Shalom Baratzon, I mean, the case of Shalom Baratzon in Chalav Ha'em is derived from Dam. And let's just add one point that Dam, this is a Gemara, neither Dam Nekar Benasa Chola. And Dam Magafasa, in the case of Behema, that Dam is Tar, it's not even a Machshir. It's not makabel tuma, and that's because the pasuk says v'dam chalolim yishta, and behema is not included in dam chalolim yishta. Bnei adam chalolim—that's what we're talking about, human beings. But now, again, you have to know about dam shchita shel behema, which is a mashkin. It is machshir. That's derived in chulin from a hekesh between dam shchita and mayim. That has to do with shchitas chulin. Okay, fine. But other than that, as a general rule, dam of a behemoth is not called a mashkin, it's tar. And therefore, if dam of a behemoth is not a mashke, so there's no reason why chalav should be a mashke in the case of shalom baratz and in the case of chalav behema. And that's not the same by chalav isha, because in chalav isha we had the makar of the chalav is dam, and the case of dam is when she got a makar and the dam is tame and it's makshir kabel tuma even though it's shalom baratz, and therefore we can say the same thing about chalav isha. But in the case of chalav behema, since it's dam, in a case of a makah, is not a mashke, and it's not machshir, it's not mekabel tuma, it's tar, then the case of chalav behema, shalo shelo beratzon chach v'lo beratzon is likewise not metame. So Rabbi Akiva responds to this argument of the Chacham. Omer lehem, Rabbi Akiva says, even though dam makavosa shalbeima is not considered a mashke, nevertheless machmir ani bechalav, I'm going to be machmir in the case of the milk, and I'm going to consider it mashke even shalo liratzon. And why is that? Yoser mi v'dam. This goes beyond the laws of dam, of a mashke, which is not considered a mashke in the case of behema. And why is that so? Shekem atzidu, we find shacholev behema lirafua. And what does it mean lirafua? The animal is suffering from too much milk in its udder, so we want to relieve that pain. So milking the cow in this case is therapy for the animal, for the cow. The cholov is tameh. In other words, it's machshel kabel tuma. That's a case of cholov, and he's yotza l'rotza. Now, let's talk about makiz dam mibehema l'rfua. Let's say the behema, the veterinarian says he's suffering from, or she's suffering from, high blood pressure, so we'll do a bloodletting and we'll let out some of its dam. That's called hakazas dam. And it's done here for a fuah. And that dam is not considered a mashke, and it's tar. So cholev lirafuah is tameh, because that's called lirotzon ha'odom, let's say. But makiz dam lirafua, that's not considered a mashke, and it's tar. So since the case of cholev behema lirafua, the cholev is tameh, we should derive from that we should be metame even cholev shenotaf, it drips mimena from the udders of the cow, shelo beratzon. And therefore we're going to go back to the kal v'chomer from chalav isha. Amru lo, the Chacham respond to Rabbi Akiva, we cannot derive conclusions from the case of a cholev lirafua, which is done lirotzon, and it's tameh, because in the case of chalav that drips out of the udders of the animal, and it's shelo beratzon, it should become tameh. Hare salei zeisim v'anovim yochichu shamashkin hayotze mehem lirotzon tameh. And shelo beratzon tahorah. Let's go over the argument of the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva when they say machmer ani becholav mi bedam and shacholev lirfua tamei v'makiz dam behem lirfua tahor. Now, in the case of cholev behema lirfua, that's milking a cow for the sake of the cow, as we said before, and the cholev is tameh, and that's because it's yotzei lirotzon. But in the case of makiz dam behema lirfua, that's not considered a mashke, and it's tar. Now, how do the Chacham know that dam hakazal or fua is not considered mashke? And the answer is that the whole ribui of dam minamaka is from the posuk dam chalolim yishta. And dam chalolim yishta does not include dam hakaza. Okay? So therefore, in this case of hakaza's dam lirafua, it's not considered a mashkin, it's tar. Now, cholev behem lirafua is the cholev is tameh. And therefore, we should be metame cholav shenotaf mimenu shelo beratzon, So one second. I may have confused here, Rabbi Chachom and Rabbi Akiva. The Chachomim's point was that Dam Makah Shel Behem is not considered a mashke. And therefore, in the case of Cholov, without Ratzon, in the case of Behemoth, it should not be considered a mashke. So Rabbi Akiva says that Machmir Ani B'Cholov, to consider Cholov a mashke, even Shelo B'Ratzon, Mibedam Shel Makah, which is not considered a mashke, because once we have this distinction that a Cholev L'Refua is Tomei, but a mak is dam l'refu is tar, so it means that cholev behem l'refu, the cholev is tamei, we should be metame even cholev shelo beratzon. So leave out dam in the case of behem, that's not part of the equation. You know, the fact that dam of a behema in the case of Makah Shalola Ratzon and its tar, forget about Dam. Let's just focus our attention on Cholov. Because from the Kal V'Chomer, says Rabbi Kiva, we can derive that Cholov is Tamei, despite the fact that Melka's Dam is tar. Because Cholov, if it's Tamei in the case of Behemel or Refuah, and that's beratzon, then certainly cholov of a behema shalola ratzon should be derived from the kavachom from ish, as we said before, because the cholov of a behema is more profound, so to speak, bein l'gdol bein l'ktan, than the cholov of an isha. So omru lo, the chacham respond to Rabbi Akiva, we should not derive conclusions from cholev l'refuah, which is again l'ratzon, to alleviate the animal of that pressure, and therefore it's tamei, and therefore take the step and derive from that cholev should not have mibehema, shelo l'ratzon should be tamei, because sale zeisim v'anovim yochichu. So you have these baskets of grapes and olives, and hamashkin hayotzimen l'ratzon tmeiv shelo l'ratzon tahorim. So once we have this distinction between l'ratzon and shelo l'ratzon, in the case of sali zeisim v'anovim, we should apply that distinction to chalav behema, and we should say that chalav behema is only mitami when it's yotzel l'ratzon, but shelo l'ratzon is tar. And at this point, the Gemara wants to clarify the proof from the Mishnah that it's impossible to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mashka Zov B'Shabbos Mitusim V'Aronim B'Stam should be Asur B'Shtia. My love, shouldn't we assume that according to the Chachamim, L'Ratzo means D'Nichole? In other words, he wants the Mashka to go out. And shalola ratzon means stoma. He didn't make any decision whether he wants to squeeze out the juices from the peros or he wants to eat the peros live, whole. And therefore we're going to say that these mashkim, in the case of stoma, are tahorim. And now we can learn the Kal V'Chomer. Most of the time, what do you do with Zeisim Anovim? You squeeze out the juices. And nevertheless, in the case of Echnison Stam, is the halacha is Mashka Yotzimahem is like Shalola Ratzon, Velola Klum, and it's Tahorim, is Tusim Rimonim, the Lab B'nei Schita Ninu, which are generally not used to squeeze out the juice. It's not omid l'schita, it's lo kolshken. How much more so in the case of echnison stam, is mashke Hayotze mehen should be tar. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda would say demashkin hayotze b'shabes minatusa rimonim when he had a machshava stam has the din of mashka on it, and it's included in the gzera of mashkin shezavu, and it's also to drink it. I mean, to the same extent that we see that in the case of stam, it's not considered a mashke, and it has a din of shalola ratzon, and it's tahorim, and we derive tusim v'rimonim from a kal v'chomer from zeisim v'anovim, then if it's not a mashke, then mashkin ayotzim mehen, according to review, there's certainly on Shabbos it should be mutter, it should not be included in the gzeres mashkin shezavu, in the case of stam in tusim v'rimonim stam. So the Gemara answers, lo, it's not your logic. We cannot accept your compelling logic that l'ratzon means that he wants it, and shalol l'ratzon means stam, but rather l'ratzon means stoma, and that's why it's called a machshir, and shalol l'ratzon, which means the goli adaiti diomer lo nichali, he doesn't want the mashke, that's why it's not machshir. And Iboy, same the Gemara offers another teretz that the Mishnah is talking about Sali Zaysim Vanovim. Vishani Sali Zaysim Vanovim came into the Ibud Kaime, that the juice that's going to come out of the Zaysim Vanovim is going to be thrown into the ground. It's going to basically dissipate and dissolve and enter into the small holes in the Salem, it's going to Le'ibud, is therefore Meikaraf Kure Mafkari Le. From the beginning, he's Mafkarit. Therefore, everybody would agree that the mitz, the juices that come out of the Saleh Zaysim Vanovim, does not have a Din Mashke, and it's not a Machshir. But if the Peros in other Kalim, and the Mashke is not put into the Salim, but it's Nishmar, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that even in the case of Salim v'rimonim, in Tosim v'rimonim Stam, is Hayotzi mehen Din Mashke. Now again, this sugya is a long sugya, but let's see where we get up to. We're on the top of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, and we're up to Ashkechan, which is three lines before the end of the Om. And that's where we'll pick it up tomorrow.